Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Turn to someone and tell them, I'm living my life like it's golden. I'm living my life like it's golden. I'm living my life like it's golden, golden, golden. Yes. I understand Miss Jill Scott was here in town recently, huh? Maybe that's why the thought came to mind. I'm living my life like it's golden. I have a statement that I've been working with that I wanted to. I want to love deeply, live fully, and enjoy my life completely. You know? Yeah, that's my affirmation. I want to love deeply and live fully and enjoy my life to the maximum. That's my new mantra. I saw a statement on Facebook that said that most people want to reach a high level of success and greatness, but they don't necessarily want to do what is required to reach that level of success and greatness. And I thought, you know, how true is that? Because in most cases, not all, but in most cases, we want the end result, do we not? Yeah, we want that success, we want that greatness, but not necessarily what it takes to get us there. And what does it take to achieve something great, any great thing? Usually it's going to take a measure, I think, of passion, commitment, heart, vision, among other things. But at least it'll take some of those things, some passion, commitment, vision, heart. Now, I just finished a 3-level course at the Oneness University in India. And the course was titled The Journey into Freedom. And it was extremely powerful, very insightful, quite empowering, just moving my spirit to another level, perhaps another level of greatness. And it was wonderful, but we were told that it just scratched the surface of what could be a deep transformation of my heart and my soul and my journey and my life. It was just a scratch, it just touched the surface. Now, I've been on my journey for quite some time. And at this particular juncture in my spiritual journey, in my spiritual walk, I've been on this path for well over 40 years, consciously, teaching, you know, learning, growing, unfolding, praying, meditating, doing all of that. But yet I feel that my spirit and soul wants more. I want to have more of the ability to actually demonstrate the Spirit of the living God in my life and in my affairs. I want more. I want more understanding. I want more spiritual fortitude to be able to be a living example, a living expression of the divine. I want to have that, what they say is not only a spiritual awakening and spiritual transformation, spiritual enlightenment, and God realization. I want all of that. Because who wouldn't want any of that? That is what I see as our purpose for being here. I want to have all of that. And so when we finished the course, they were telling us about this next follow-up course to the one I just completed. And they said that this course was going to take, now get this, it was going to take 18 years to complete it. So now when I heard that, I said, 18 years? I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 18 years. I hope so. But I never know what condition my condition's going to be in, whether I'm going to be traipsing over to India. That's a rough journey over there. But 18 years, and I thought, well, that's going to take a lot, because it's not cheap. It's an expensive process. I said to the lady who was from Australia next to me, I said, spiritual enlightenment is kind of costly, you know. It ain't cheap. So I was thinking about all of the resources that it was going to take, not to mention the time and the energy and 18 years and the commitment. I'm not too sure I want to commit to anything for 18 years. So I was scratching my head, and on and on and on I went. But you see, friends, there will always be something that can or will stand in the way of the fulfillment of your dreams, your desires, or your wants. There can always be anything that can stand in the way. There'll always be some type of situation, some circumstance, some issue, something that can serve as a reason, a good reason, as in fact, why you can't do what you desire to do, or have what you want to have, or be who and what you want to be. There will always be something. And so I thought, well, the question should be, for me and for you, whatever your desire is in life, the question should be, or that you might want to ask yourself, is, will I be ruled by my head or my heart? See, the head now, the head will deal with reality as a small r, meaning whatever is realistic. It's going to measure whether something seems realistic or not. See, the first thing I said, well, now, is it realistic for me to think I'm going to do 18 more years of this process and program? Is that realistic? See, or the head is going to say, well, does this have a measure of reason and logic to it? Does it have, or is it responding to the norms or the customs of the day? Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it sensible? See, the head's going to give us sensibilities. And not that any of that is wrong, but we have to understand the workings of the head or the mind, right? Whereas your heart, on the other hand, will deal with soul desires. Your heart will deal with intuitive guidance. Your heart will deal with purpose and meaning. Your heart's going to deal with divine connections. Your heart's going to deal with that which brings spiritual fulfillment. Not whether it's realistic, not whether it's logical or sensible, but does it have a divine quality? Is it something that is going to enrich your life? See, we've been conditioned to live from our heads because it's what engenders a sense of order, or what engenders a sense of safety and predictability and stability. See, the head wants to know, right? It wants to figure out now, because if I could know a thing, if I could figure out what is happening, then I feel safe, then I feel secure, then I think I got this thing figured out. So the head wants to know in order to feel a sense of security. But you see, it is the heart, friends, that actually brings life to our lives. The heart brings life to your life. Because it is the heart that actually carries the vitality that is needed for your soul's growth. Wisdom and knowledge is one thing, right? Intelligence is one, but having something that's going to feed your soul, nurture your soul, nurture your life, and help you to grow is another thing. The heart is what will bring what is needed for that mystery, for the joy, for the depth, for the aliveness that every soul seeks. Because without the heart, we're dead. Literally and figuratively. Without the heart, we are dead. Now, I'm not promoting reckless abandonment of all logic, you know, and reason or intelligence, because that has its place. But what I'm saying is, if you start there, you just might not get out of the gate. Right? If you start with all of the logic, trying to figure it out, you might be discouraged before you even get started. Have you not done that? All the what ifs, the why fors, and the be, all of that until you have convinced yourself that this may not be a good thing for you to do. See, you need passion. You need passion to be the driving force for your dreams and your desires. You've got to have passion. Now, Benjamin Franklin does say this. He says, if passion drives you, let reason hold the reins. I get that. But you got to start with what? That passion. You see, your head will guide you, but it is your heart that's going to drive you. And if you're going to accomplish something, especially something great in your life, if you're going to achieve something, you're going to have some heart. You're going to have heart. So I ask you, where is your heart? What is it that makes you come alive? Or are you even in touch with what that might be for you? Or have you actually succumbed to the steadiness, to the routine of life? Or I won't even call it life, the steadiness and routine of existence. But do you want to exist or do you want to live? See, I want to live. I've done enough existing, right? Doing what's right. Existing is you get up and you go and you wash up and you go have breakfast and you get in the car and you come to work, you do your work, you go home and you do the, and it's over. And that's I've done enough of that. I'm at the point in my life and says, well, I want to live. What did I say? I want to love deeply and live fully and enjoy my life. This is the time. So do you want to exist or do you want to live? Reggie Leach has said this. He said, success is not the result of spontaneous combustion. You must set yourself on fire. I love that. Don't you love that? See, a lot of times we're sitting around, when is my life going to get exciting? Ooh, when is it going to happen that something's going to, there's a spark that's going to come and cause me to feel like, oh, everything is great. When is it going to happen? You got to set yourself on fire. Not sit around and wait, but to live your life with purpose and meaning and all the things that bring life to your life. And so this is the call for each of us. John de La Fontaine said this. He said, man is so made that whenever anything fires his soul, impossibilities vanish. See, I love that. Impossibilities vanish. But it says you're made so that when anything fires your soul, that fire will burn up everything that can stand in the way, and impossibilities vanish. When your heart is opened and passion for your desires or your dreams or your wants, when your passion begins to flame brightly, burn brightly, then everything else, all your doubts, your fears, your reasons, your excuses, all that fades away. And you begin to tap into something greater. And it's then that you'll be able to bring life to your desires, your heart's desires. See, metaphysically speaking, if you're going to bring anything into manifestation, you're going to have to be in touch with your heart and the seat of feelings, because your heart is the seat of your feelings. See, you have to have strong feelings and not just a strong thought. Because sometimes we have lots of strong thoughts. We don't do anything with them, but we have them. They have to be coupled. That thought must be coupled with a strong feeling in order to ignite that thought, to bring that thought into fruition, into manifestation. Something has to be on fire within you. Krishnamurti, I don't know if some of you know him, but he's a mystic and a great metaphysician, was. But Krishnamurti said this. He said, you know, Passion is necessary to understand truth. And I'm using the word passion in its full significance, because to feel strongly, to feel deeply with all your being is essential. Otherwise, that strange thing called reality will never come to you. But your religion, your saints, say you must not have desire. You must control, suppress, overcome, destroy, which means you come to truth burned out, worn out, empty, dead. He said you must have passion to meet this strange thing called life. And you cannot have passion, intense feeling, if you are mesmerized by society, by custom, if you are entangled in beliefs, dogmas, and rituals. I thought that was a powerful quote. In other words, he's saying, you gotta have heart to have the courage to live life fully. You've got to have heart to have the courage to live life fully, to be inspired enough to go after your dreams, to have the energy to actually dare to be yourself and not just a cookie-cutter soul who is afraid to color outside of the lines. Because we were all told and conditioned, right? Stay within the lines. Stay in that box. This is the way you do it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not promoting lawlessness of any kind. I'm not saying we should just break the rules just to break the rules. I'm not talking about that, because spiritual law is always in operation, as well as human law. But I am saying, though, is that we've got to understand how to rise above those things that would keep us in a limited state, in a boxed-in state, in a small consciousness. I'm talking about matters of the heart. I'm talking about using your God-given desires, because if you have a desire, a deep desire, a true desire, it must be coming from God. Metaphysically, D means from, and Sire means father. Right? Your deep desires, not your little itty-bitty wants and wishes, you know, for chocolate and this and that. Your deep desires, sometimes that can feel really deep when you don't have any chocolate. But I'm talking about these soul desires come from the Father. And that when you get in touch with them, then you know when you can seek that, when you touch that, because the Bible says all good gifts come from the Father above, right? And all of those things. Jesus even said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So after seeking the kingdom, you know that all these things are going to be added unto you. All these things. So what is added unto you is your heart's desire. The overflow of God's goodness is in alignment with your heart's desire. See, I want to live in the overflow of God's goodness. I want to live in that abundance. I want to live in that consciousness so that my heart desire comes into alignment with the goodness and the wonder of God. I'm living in the overflow. But it's all a matter of heart, though. It's all a matter of how much heart do you have and the quality of your heart. Listen to the first line that Jesus gave us from the only commandment that he gave. He taught a lot, but he only gave one commandment. You know what that commandment was? Tell me what the commandment was. You got it. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. With all thy soul, with all thy mind. And some say with all thy strength. But heart is first. You got to love with all of your heart. Heart is first. Because without heart, there will be no soul. If you don't have heart, you will have no soul. And soul, spiritually, means the sum total of your awareness, your consciousness. Every thought, feeling, action, attitude is a part of your soul. If you don't have any heart, you're not going to have any soul. If you don't have any soul, you're not going to have any mind. And the mind is the tool you use to bring into manifestation your desires. You got to start with heart. Your heart touches your soul. Your soul touches your mind. Your mind has to be right. But in order for your mind to be right, your soul has to be right. In order for your soul to be right, your heart has to be what? Right. You got to come right from the heart. There's a wonderful scripture in Matthew 6:21. It says, "For where your treasure is, therefore will your heart be also." Or another translation is, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." In other words, whatever it is that you value, whatever it is that you deem important to you and to your life will enter into your heart. Now, that's a good thing, but it's also you better watch what you value. You gotta come correct. See, sometimes we value things that are insignificant. We get our priorities all mixed up. And so we have to look at, well, what am I valuing? What am I treasuring? Because that's where my heart and my desires of my heart will be. That's what will enter into my consciousness, into my heart. So you need to, is your heart right? Is what you want right for you? Is it the thing that's leading to your highest good? And not only your highest good, but the highest good of what? All concerned. Is it right? Are you coming right? Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Another translation says, "For out of it flow the issues of life." This is let me read all four of these. It's very quickly. From the NIV says, "Above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And the NLV says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And the King James says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And the Message says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts." Some powerful stuff here. In other words, we've got to understand, what are we harboring in our lives? What are we allowing in our hearts? Are you harboring old hurts? Are you harboring misperceptions? Are you harboring feelings of unworthiness, fear and doubt, jealousy, insecurity? How about some shame and guilt, loneliness, hatred, prejudice? You see, any one of those, don't have to be a combination. It can just be one of those. And any limiting or negative thought or emotion or perception can take you down a path of inner destruction. It can destroy your spirit, your zest for living. It can ruin your life if you allow it to dwell in your heart. You let hatred take a space in your heart and see what happens to your life. Let jealousy, fear, or doubt, any of them, let it dwell in your being and watch what happens to your life. I'm not talking about the fleeting feelings and emotions we all may feel from time to time. But I'm talking about those that have become a part of your psyche, those that have become a part of your consciousness, those that you have allowed to reside in your heart. And if you have allowed these things to reside in your heart, make no mistake, there will be issues. You will have issues because it says, for out of the heart, right, your issues flow. So what are your issues? Do you know your issues? Or is it something that everybody else knows about you, but you haven't got a clue? Right? You know, you said, she got issues. He got issues, right? We say, look, there are some repeated patterns and experiences. They are pointing to your issues. Look at your knee-jerk reactions. They point to your issues. Look at what you want to keep hidden because they point to your issues. Look at your internal conflict. They point to your issues. Turn to somebody and tell them, you got issues. You got issues. Oh, you like that? Well, they like doing that. I got issues. Yes. See, the truth of the matter is we all have issues. Okay? So it's okay. We don't need to act as if we don't have any issues. We all have issues. But here's the thing. You can be healed, and you can be transformed, and you can be renewed through the presence and power of God at work in your life and affairs. God can work on your issues. And here's how you do it. You need to ask God to give you a new heart. Ask God to give you a clean heart. A heart full of love, a heart full of life. See, during this course that we were taking, in one of the processes and the exercises, we were to look at all the stuff that we may be carrying around in our consciousness, the stuff that keeps us from moving forward, the stuff that we are not proud of, the stuff that we didn't want to acknowledge. And they made us look at all the stuff from everything, whether you were 5 years old and you took a candy bar out of the store or whatever. Look at all the stuff. And it was not an easy process, okay? But if we were here to grow and to clean up some things, we had to look at all that. And somewhere in the course of that, it was painful to do, but a scripture came to my mind. And it was a scripture that I had chosen upon entering into ministerial school. And it was 31 years ago. And I chose the scripture from Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That was my scripture. I had others, but that was the one that I chose to embark upon my spiritual walk as a minister. And as I was in this process, I said, Lord, some 31 years later, I feel like I'm getting a new heart. I feel like I'm doing a new thing. I feel like I got a new walk. I feel like I'm doing something, a greater vision for my life. And as I began to work with that, I said, you know what? I'm willing to do whatever it will take to establish this new heart, this new walk. So you're never too old. I don't care how long you've been on your journey. I've been on this journey for a long time, like many of you. But it's never too late to begin again, to begin anew, to continue. And I said, I'm willing to do whatever is going to give me a new heart and a right spirit within me, whatever is going to help me to transform, to be enlightened, to be God realized. I'm willing to do that, including starting an 18-year program. I don't know. What's 18 years? See, to God, a day, a minute, 1,000 years, it's just time. I plan to hopefully be on the planet for another 18 years. I might as well be doing something that has meaning for me. So I said, I'm willing. See, I'm working on having a sacred heart, a tender heart, a compassionate heart, a faithful heart, a joyful heart, a loving heart, an open heart, a heart of gold, a pure heart. Because the Bible says only the pure in heart can see God, can see the good. And I'm ready to see the good, to see God. I want a pure heart. So friends, I say, and I ask you, what is in your heart and on your heart? You need to check it out. For the heart of the matter is the only thing that truly matters. Be well. Be blessed. I love you with all my heart. And as the young folks say, they like to say, love you mean it, smooches. Blessings. Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.